You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Wednesday, the 17th day of October. Happy Hump Day. You know, in the process of writing, so I'm trying to write a book, right? It's not the most pleasant experience I'm finding. Not that I mind writing, because I don't. But the book doesn't start well, you know. And then when you write about it, you got to write in enough detail, so you got to go through all these bad episodes. It's like, oh my God. So I don't know if I'm a fan. I don't know if I'm a fan of the whole process. So for me, in order to talk about post-traumatic winning, right, you have to talk about how you got there, right? So in the first part of the book, you know, I talk about how I grew up, and growing up has two phases for me, a good phase and then a not so good phase. And then, away to school and then join the Marine Corps, after a short stint after college working for Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner and Smith back in the day. Yeah. Back in the day before the internet. Where you had, like, what? The extent of the financial information was in the newspaper, right? Remember, you had the stock quotes that you'd look up? Not even there. Imagine, I mean, think about the hit. Every day, it probably, all the stock quotes, and then you had, I think, so that took up, right, a page of newsprint. And then either on the back side, or maybe that took up a couple pages to get all the quotes of the New York Stock Exchange in there. And then you had kind of a page of the American Stock Exchange, maybe the NASDAQ, maybe not, and whatever else. Now, that was your business data, right, back in the day. And so people, you know, they went to brokerage houses to find that information because there was no internet. Where do you go? You go to the library. You can do research at the library. Or you can go down. We used to keep these books, Standard & Poor's books, right? And they had information sheets on companies. And we would get these little sheets that Standard & Poor's would send out. And our receptionist, one of her jobs was, she would take these things and she'd put the new sheet in and take the old sheet out. Yeah, whenever Standard & Poor's sent out a new sheet on somebody. And that's how information moved. Not so well. So you went down and you started investing. You bought your 100 shares of IBM. As IBM goes, so goes the nation. So, yes, I did that for a while. I had a degree in economics, so I knew a little bit about the stock market and how it worked. And I started out as a bookkeeper. What does a bookkeeper do? Well, you work in accounting, something I hated. But, I mean, I got to see how a brokerage house operates on the operation side. You have a window, you take in money, right? People come in and pay their bills when they buy stock. They deposit certificates that then go into their account, right? All has to be clear through the SEC, yada, 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 yada. So what do you do if you're a bookkeeper? Transfer money between accounts, transfer stock between accounts. All that is done now just by the click of a mouse. It used to be done manually by people like me, right? Wire money from this account to this bank. All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's what bookkeepers do. You had a number interval of accounts. Mike's got from 10,000 to 30,000. So any accounts in that number sequence, go to him. Margaret has from this to this. Lance has from this to this. So, So I used to watch the stock market every day and see it go up and down and watch people react to it. And I was not a big fan of the way people did business. Merrill Lynch did business was, if you could sell, they would teach you to sell stocks and bonds. So we're talking about retail Merrill Lynch, the Merrill Lynch that you would walk into. So the guy you were dealing with, he might have been a pool salesman, but he's the best pool salesman in the Western United States. So they brought him in and they gave him a couple tests, and then they sent him to a thing called test passers. So a test passer would school him on how to pass the Series 7 exam, which you needed to sell stocks and bonds. And then once they passed that test, they sent him back to a 2-week course in New York City, and they would teach him how to dress. They'd take him to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, right? They would show them how to do business the Merrill Lynch way. Okay, one, you don't have opinions. Merrill has opinions. We have a short-term opinion that you will find if you punch in a stock on your machine, right? If you hit F4, you'll get the short-term opinion. If you hit F5, you'll get the medium-term opinion on the stock. And if you hit F6, you'll get the long-term opinion. These are your opinions, okay? We're holding in the near and the midterm, all right? We're long-term buyers of this stock. Got it? That's how you do it. All right. There you have it. We publish summaries every day, okay, as soon as the market ends. So client calls up and says, hey, Mac, how'd the market do today? All you have to do is hit F7. F7. The market opened strong today on strength from the Fed's latest report. I'm just making this stuff up. On the strength of the Fed's latest report on manufacturing, that boosted the market in the afternoon. Oil prices showed strength and had an adverse effect on the close. We closed up about 3 points. On the technical side, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Oh, all right. And then from there, normally, they say, well, how did IBM do? So you punch in IBM, right? You hit enter, and it'll give you the latest blurb. IBM was down 0.75 points based on their announcing that they're closing, whatever, down a certain line of a product. And that was it. So, I'd watch that. And it's like, this guy doesn't know anything about your portfolio. He's a sales guy. So, I thought it was kind of icky. They were sales guys. They like to make money. That's why they were in sales. And making money is a good thing. I'm not against making money, but a lot of times I felt bad for people. And some of them were really good. Some of them were kind of mercenary. You know, some would write down a number and they were going to turn over, they turned over their business to make that number. Every month they did that. Yeah. Churn it and burn it. And then there were other guys that were, you know, that it's hard. It was hard to be, I think, it was hard to be ethical. And a lot of the way that financial advisors get compensated has been changed, right, to commission-based where it's transaction-based. So if you don't do a whole lot of transactions, guess what? You don't make a whole lot of money. Well, why would you be doing a whole lot of transactions? Riddle me that, Batman. Why? Because you want to make a lot of money, yes? Well, that seems to be pretty basic, I think. So, what kind of guy makes a lot of money and doesn't do a lot of transactions? A guy who's got a lot of big accounts. Or maybe even just one big account. How do you get big accounts? Well, you got to be established. Or you got to hit it off with somebody that gives you a chance. It wasn't easy. It didn't normally work like that. So the average guy is, you know, he's maybe trying to do the right thing, but more importantly, he's got to turn your money over. And the funny thing is when you do that business for a while, when somebody shows you they come in with their, you know, with a, and they may have typed it out. It may be handwritten, right? I have this. Or it might be a statement from another company. Within 60 seconds of looking at that, you can tell if they're well invested or not. What does well invested mean? Well, it means, is their money where it should be given their age and their retirement goals? Now, it may not be in Merrill Lynch products, which might be a problem, but yeah, they're fine. They're under the bell curve in terms of where they should be for their age. So do we need to move their money? Answer to that is no. Are we going to move their money? Answer to that is yes. Why? So I can make money, so Merrill can make money. Is it necessary? No, not really. Will they pay for it? Somebody got to pay for it. They'll pay part of it. So, anyway, but, I went off on that, but, so, yeah, here's my philosophy of choosing advisors. Have some other hook in them. Have another hook into them so that you're just not a commission mark. You coach baseball with him, right? So he's got to see you or she's got to see you, right? A friend of a really good friend. Come highly recommended. Because if all you are to somebody is a commission mark, that's risky business. I would be uncomfortable with that. Just that I just, yeah, I met him when I walked through the door. I don't know that that's a very good thing. So anyway, that's my advice. That's my financial services advice. Have another hook into somebody. Don't just be a commission mark. I just met him when I went through the door. You're nothing to them. Okay. Well, I'm looking to turn over. I need to make some money. Let me call him. Let me call McNamara. No. His wife is friends with my wife. We go to church together. Our kid. Yeah, sorry. Let me leave him off this list. I got to see him. So I was thinking about in the writing of these things, the writing of about trauma, I was trying to recall if I have a picture of my mom and dad. The last picture I recall taking with my mom and dad was in 1983 when I was commissioned. Now, I got married in 1985. But I don't remember taking a picture with my mom and dad at my wedding. I don't remember seeing it. So yeah, I was going down memory lane yesterday. A lot of it's not pleasant. Sad, right? Yeah, I agree with you. So the whole writing thing, as I kind of developed the whole concept of post-traumatic winning. I'll be pretty excited when I get through this part of the book where I document how trauma entered my life. And then it segues with, and these are the things I got told. But thanks to one person, I really, Gunner Sergeant Lance Y, thanks to him and Vietnam veterans who gave him advice. Whenever trauma, you know, reached out and grabbed me, I never thought anything was wrong with me because of his advice. So I was a very, very fortunate minority of people that gets really good mental health advice, when trauma darkens our doorstep. You know, most people get, and again, if you haven't read it, I put it out, but if you haven't read it, put When Bad Things Happen to Good People on your list of things to read. And it's an even better book than I remembered it. I read it over the weekend again. And it's richer. It's a richer book than I remembered it. So I would wholeheartedly recommend it to you, especially if you're a religious person, and written by a Jewish rabbi. You'll enjoy it. It's one of the books that made sense to me, being raised Catholic and all. It made a lot of sense to me when not a whole lot of things were making sense to me. So, anyway, I would recommend it to you by Harold Kushner, Cushner. And I've spoken about it a few times on the program, but I was raised in a world, and maybe I didn't have good educators, but I was raised in a world where I had this understanding that, you know, God knew, you know, God pulled the strings. And so I, you know, in my early 20s, I blamed God. I didn't blame God. I don't know if that's exactly what I did, but I didn't understand why God would allow this to happen to my family, why this would happen to my family. And, you know, it was literally ripping apart at the seams. So I looked for an answer, and I didn't find one. And pretty frustrating. And then I read When Bad Things Happen to Good People, and, you know, bing, What happens if God's not up there throwing the levers, intervening in your life on a daily basis? What happens if you're a human subject to the human condition? And that was the first time I really considered that. I mean, I had thought about it, and I had my own personal theory for it. But in the book, he lays out how he evolved as a Jewish rabbi. And I would wholeheartedly recommend it, because a lot of times people go to their faith for comfort, and they find none. They find platitudes. There's a purpose in this, and all the garbage people tell you who aren't going through what you're going through that makes you very, very resentful. So I would recommend that to you, but I thought I'd share that with you. Writing about the trauma of your life is a below average experience. I would tell you that. Jack Riley is going to join us today. We're going to do kind of after the interview. I have a series of questions for him. And he's a squad leader, Vietnam type, Indy Company 3-9, was the squad leader. So close your eyes and picture this. You're defending a hilltop. You're the squad leader of a Marine rifle squad, reinforced with machine guns and rockets, that's on the forward slope of a hill that the company CP is on the backside of. The attack, the NVA attack, is going to come through your squad. Jack Riley's that guy. If you haven't heard the interviews, I would just recommend go to the podcast page, put Riley in, and let that pop up, and you'll see a couple of different segments we've done with him. So after those segments ran, people had questions. Hey, what about this? What about that? And in fact, Bob Nielsen sent me a couple this morning. Things he's curious about. So he's a great guy, and we're essentially focused on what happened. So stand by for that. It'll be extremely cool to do. So excited to have Jack back on. So we'll do that this morning in about 37 minutes. We'll have him on. And that's what we're doing on the program today. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Dedicated to anybody who ever writes a book and has to relive all the shitty stuff in their life again. Hang with them, bro.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
7:29 here on Wednesday morning. Time for us to check the weather. The McGarry Mortgage Minute coming up. Yeah, you'll enjoy that. Interest rates at 7-year high. What does that mean? So talk about that with Tim McGarry. You'll hear that in right after we check the weather. We'll take a break. Yeah, interesting. I enjoyed it. I'm not sure if these temperatures are right, so I have to refresh the page. Stand by. They weren't correct. My instinct was right. Mostly cloudy in 59 in Quantico. They've got two weather advisories. Clouds at 72 at Camp Lejeune, so they've cooled off. Granbury, Texas, raining in 53 degrees. Big Timber, Montana, has sun and 37 degrees. 29 Palms, sun and 52 degrees. Pendleton, sun and 45 degrees. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, 73, so that's normal. Marj, Afghanistan, continues to cool down, 68 degrees early in the evening. At the Newport Beach, Costa Mesa, headquarters of All Marine Radio, sunny and 54 degrees, looking for a high of 78 as Southern California experiences Santa Ana weather conditions. And that would be winds blowing out of the desert, extremely dry and warm. Looking for high of 78 today, 82 tomorrow, and 87 on Friday. Go figure. Who needs that? All right. We're We'll take a quick break, and you'll hear the McGarry Mortgage Minute coming up, and we'll come back. We'll check some news headlines, so don't touch that dial. Mortgage rates at an all-time high, not an all-time high, at a seven-year high. What does that mean? You'll find it interesting, so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Wednesday, you hear that music, it means it's time for the McGarry Mortgage Minute. And joining us is Mr. McGarry himself, Tim McGarry. Tim, first of all, good Wednesday morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Right now, I've got no issues. Watching the baseball playoffs, and so my team's not in it anymore, but I'm okay with that. Yeah, I know. It sucks, but such is life. In the news over the course of last week have been interest rates. And I think the headline I saw was interest rates have hit about a seven-year high, I believe. Talk to me about interest rates and where they are historically. Make me smart about that.
Well, something that's a really interesting topic right now. So interest rates, they are rising, and they are at that seven-year high, as you talked about. But if you look back kind of over the years, that you see that they're still really low. You know, in 2007, you can look back and you see interest rates were around 6%. In 2000, we're looking at interest rates were around 8%. And if you even go back to 1990, interest rates were about 10%, and you can keep on going back seeing that these interest rates that we're seeing today are still, even though they are getting higher in these last 7 years, they are still pretty low.
Well, you know what? I had forgotten that they were that high. Over the course of the last, 15, if we went back 30 years, which would be what, to 1985, and that would be 30 years. highest interest rates were during that period were what?
They're around 12% in 1985.
I mean, that's amazing. When you think about 1985, right around when I bought my first home, that's when, you didn't look at 30-year fixed mortgages. You looked at the adjustable rate mortgage got invented, the balloon payment got invented. There was all these really loan tools to get you into a home so that you could get in there. But not like today. To think that interest rates are a third of what they were then is pretty amazing. So keep going. Make me smarter.
So, Mac, when market fluctuates, I get asked a lot about refinancing and when is the best opportunity to take advantage of that.
Well, that makes sense. So make me smart about refinancing.
Well, there's a lot that we could talk about with it, but I want to talk about three main ideas on it. And, of course, the first being lowering your mortgage payment, right? You want to refinance so that you can get a lower payment.
Right.
And I like to talk when I'm talking to people asking me that, as I want to make sure they're going to save over $50 to $70 before they do a refinance. And a lot of times you're going to be told to refi, but in my opinion, and talk to your loan officer and talk to someone about this, but I don't want to do that unless you're going to save over $50. And that's kind of my rule of thumb and something that I was taught when I got into this business, and that I think is a really good idea to look at.
All right, so that's a benchmark. I can write that down. So $50 to $70 a month is where I start. Is where you think it makes sense for me to go ahead and refinance. All right, I can. I just wrote that down. All right, what's next?
Going into refinancing, you're gonna want to look at a lot of different things and variables. And one of the things is you want to see what your goals are, and that's most important. And you want to see what you're trying to do. If you're trying to stay in the home, if you're trying to get rid of mortgage insurance, pay off credit, pay off debt, you know, all these things go into if it's a smart idea for you to refinance. You know, again, going into if you're going to lower your mortgage payment, but also get rid of debt by pulling out equity. And, you know, there's so many different things you can do. And again, talk to your loan officer or someone that you trust and that, that you can create a great game plan with, because it doesn't always make sense for everyone to refinance just because it might be a lower rate. But sometimes it makes sense even if it is a higher rate. And it's just about where you stand and what your situation is and what your goals are.
Got it. That makes sense. Talk to me about, is there anything unique about refinancing VA mortgages?
Great question. There is. I mean, you still have, you know, with VA, the biggest advantage is you can have 100% financing and not pay mortgage insurance. And you can just still do the same exact thing when you're refinancing. So you're still getting the 100% financing. You're not, and it's whatever, 100% of the home value, and you don't have to pay mortgage insurance. So having a VA loan and being able to refinance in a VA loan is a great, great opportunity and something to take advantage of if you can do that.
All right, Tim, that's great information about refinances and also about VA loans as well. Anything else that we should know?
Thank you for having me. First off, I could talk about refinancing all day, and there's so much that wasn't covered and that we did cover. So if you do have any questions at all about something that we talked about or something that even we didn't talk about, I'm always available. Give me a call or a text. My number is 858-692-5539. Again, it's 858-692-5539. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at allmarineradio.com. So after I did that with Tim, recorded it last night, I looked up the interest rates, and honestly, it is amazing. If you go back and you look at like 1980, interest rates were at about 17% on 30-year fixed rate mortgages. Yep. The chart I'm looking at starts in 1970. They go from 8% in 1970. 1975, they're about 9%. And then 1980, they go through the roof. And it looks like 81, they're sitting at 15-16%. And then they gradually come down. I'll just take snapshots. So, 1980, like 17%. 1990, 9%, 2000, 6%, 2010, about 5%. So, interesting. I love historical economic data to put things in context. Like, you know, when the Dow does something crazy, right? And you pull back and you say, okay, let's just take a 50-year average of the Dow. Okay. Because to put today's fluctuation in context. Okay. So anyway, all right. We'll finish our break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network, And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk in to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made.
P. Davis, winning. Winning's not easy, just for the record. check the news headlines now. And there's only one story I would tell you that's new. And that is today's troops for a new war is coming soon. nearly half of all current military troops, should say nearly half of troops that responded to a poll, believe the United States will be drawn into a major war soon, a jarring rise in anxiety among service members worried about global instability in general and Russia and China in particular, according to a new Military Times poll of active duty troops. About 46% of troops who responded to the anonymous survey of currently serving Military Times readers said that they believe the U.S. will be drawn into a new war within the next year. That's a jarring increase from only about 5% who said the same thing in a similar poll conducted in September of 2017. So you're talking about a 900% increase? Okay, look, I'm not a pollster. I do look at poll numbers, though. And I would tell you, whenever something changes that much, I would suspect either methodology or some other reason why something moved that much. Okay. Now, I know most of people on active duty do not remember the Cold War and all of that, in which we did this with Russia forever, right? Intercept their bombers, bump into their ships, right? It was the Cold War. And we coexisted pretty well. So I'm a little bit skeptical. Okay. So the way the poll breaks down is this. 67%, right, thought it was not likely to not likely at all. 28% said they didn't know. This is 2017, okay? So there's three segments of the three responses. Not likely at all, 67%. Okay? 28% said they didn't know. And then 5% said it was very likely. Right? In the 2018 poll, the don't know is virtually eliminated in the poll. So the somewhat likely went from 28% to 4%. And the somewhat likely, let me restate that. The don't know went from 28% to 4% in 12 months. So let's see, that's 7. What's 1/7? So it reduced by 600%, something like that. And it goes from 24%. Yeah, it's like it's virtually eliminated in the poll. And so virtually everybody that used to say don't know now says we're going to war. Somewhat likely to very likely we're going to war. The percentage of people that said that not likely to not likely at all only decreased 17%. So it went from 67% to 50%. So the undecideds moved to 'the somewhat likely to very likely that we're going to war.' I don't know. When a poll moves that much, to me, if you don't ask methodology, what word am I looking for? Methodology? If you don't look for methodology questions, then I don't know that you know a whole lot about about polls, growing fears of Russia and China. Who are people more worried about? 2017, Russia, 53%. Said Russia posed a very significant threat, and only 45% said China posed a very significant threat. 2018, 71% say Russia poses a significant threat to very significant threat, and 69% say China does. So China closing the gap in the poll. Cyber terrorism topped the list of threats to U.S. security in military times. So what do people worry about? Number one, cyber terrorism. Two, Russia. 89% said cyber terrorism. Number two, Russia. Number three, China. Number four, Islamic domestic terrorists. Number five, non-Islamic domestic terrorists. Down at the bottom of things that they worry about, Afghanistan and Iraq. Interesting. Interesting part of the poll there. So that's really the most significant piece of news in Marine Corps Times this morning is that poll. That's kind of a military time. So good news for the Marine Corps. Not a whole lot of new news. The Air Force confirmed a California Guardsman has been killed in a crash of a Ukrainian fighter jet, an Su-27 U Bravo. Crashed while the California Air National Guardsman was participating in a ride-along, essentially, in the Ukrainian jet. U.S. Airman was a member of the 144th Fighter Wing of the California Air National Guard based in Fresno. Name's not been released pending notification of next of kin. Tuesday night, U.S. Air Force said a U.S. Airman was involved in a fighter jet crash in the Ukraine, but did not say what his or her status was. So I don't even know what that means. Were they piloting? Were they there on official business? So I don't, not a whole lot of details. So we'll stand by. Top five stories in early bird. One, U.S. has limited contact and oversight of Afghan troops and the gear they've been given. The U.S. Defense Department is still struggling to develop an Afghan military that can sustain itself despite the U.S. having spent nearly $84 billion on Afghan security over the past 17 years, according to a new report. The report goes on to detail how U.S. forces have limited contact and that the Afghans are, I don't want to say on their own, but limited supervision over what they've been given. So, number two story is, continued bad news out of Afghanistan. U.S. service member involved in the Ukrainian Su-27 crash. We've already talked about that. Interesting story in a publication called Breaking Defense. Russia's strategy, ISIS's future, and countering China, all part of an article written about traveling with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in an interview. So, interesting. Interesting. So it's a Q&A with Dunford. So, yeah, and he's always, I think everybody knows who listens to the program, whenever we can find interviews that he does, he and Secretary Mattis, when you hear them in long format, I believe everybody breathes a sigh of relief, like, thank God. Thank God. I'll read you one question and his answer. Question, how would you describe Moscow's strategy? General Dunford, Russia has studied the United States since 1991, at the end of the Cold War, and they know that the source of our strategic strength is the network of allies and partners that we have built over 70 years, and that operationally our strength is the ability to project power. So I think Russia's strategy is pretty simple. They want to undermine the credibility of the United States in terms of meeting its alliance commitments and thus erode the cohesion of the NATO alliance. They also want the field capabilities to challenge our ability to project power in Europe. That's why they've taken this small slice of land in Kaliningrad on the Baltic Sea and deployed anti-ship cruise missiles, anti-ship ballistic missiles, and air defense systems there. That's an anti-access aerial denial strategy aimed at challenging the Euro-Atlantic link. Interesting. So Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Q&A. Let me read you two more because they're interesting. Question. Do you see similarities between Russia's actions in the Baltic and China's aggressive posture in the South China Sea, where Beijing is building artificial islands, militarizing them, and then claiming zones of exclusive sovereignty? There are clear similarities because what Russia is trying to do vis-a-vis our allies and the ability to project power, China is also trying to do. China is a rising power in the Pacific, and they have a fundamentally different form of government and some protectionist economic policies that have created friction in our relationship. I would broaden it even beyond the South China Sea and tell you that we're seeing an erosion in the rules-based international order in the region. Along with our Pacific partners, we share a commitment to a free and open Indo-Pacific based on international rules, norms, and standards. Question, how do you enforce those rules and norms in light of China's actions? Answer, the military dimension is freedom of navigation operations that we conduct along with 22 other nations. These are normal activities designed to demonstrate that the United States military will fly, sail, and operate wherever international law allows. We're not going to allow illicit claims to become de facto reality. That's what FON operations are all about. Having said that, if you look at the stakes involved in both the United States and China, that argues for these issues to be dealt with peacefully. There is absolutely no upside for either country in a major conflict. Always polished. Joe Dunford. Let me cover a couple more, and then we'll take a break, and then Jack Riley will join us. Number four in today's early bird is, why today's troops for a new war is coming soon. Yeah, I'm a little bit suspicious when the numbers move that much, that quickly, without any major event. I don't know. I don't know if it was the way the question was asked it got changed, but that's an awful dramatic shift for nothing significant to have happened other than nonsense. Number five, after the 2012 hack, Saudi Arabia relied on U.S. contractors. The Department of Commerce has approved more than $166 million in sales of controlled information security equipment and software to Saudi Arabia from 2012 to 2017, according to analysis done by the Fifth Domain. All this stuff now in question because of the Khashoggi incident. Right. What will Senator Pompeo come back and report? Secretary Pompeo come back and report when he returns back to the United States, I would imagine sometime today or tomorrow, after he's met with, had meetings in both Riyadh and I believe Istanbul, and sorting all this out. And so the backdrop is Turkey and Saudi Arabia are on opposite sides. All right. And so Saudi Arabia is our ally in the region. So what Secretary Pompeo finds is significant. How does the United States navigate that? when one of your allies does something extremely stupid in public? How do you continue the relationship and send the message at the same time? Good question. The United States is trying to sort that out. But at the end of the day, your allies are your allies. And you can't flip over on them because of one stupid incident. So it's obviously an awkward position for a nation that supports freedom of the press and our security services not going around the world whacking people. So anyway, keep your eye on that. Keep your eye on what comes out of Secretary Pompeo's mouth when he comes home, and then the way the administration fashions a statement that ultimately becomes a response. It'll be interesting to see how they do that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jack Riley, squad leader, India Company 3-9 from the 2nd Platoon. He led the 2nd Squad in Vietnam. We're going to talk about coming home, what that was like, and I've got a series of questions for him about life after Vietnam. So, Jack Riley, after the show, coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project.